Dalai Lama said, the purpose of our lives is to be happy. John Lennon says, life is what happens when you're busy making other plans. Stephen King said, get busy living or get busy dying. Albert Einstein said, if you want to live a happy life, tie it to a goal, not to people or things. Welcome to Make Shit Happen. This is episode number 178. My guest today is Andrea Bello. Andrea Bello is a business professional, an entrepreneur, public speaker, and scientist. Her passion is in driving brand awareness, creating quantifiable value, and developing innovative business strategies. Love talking to Andrea Bello. She's the founder and executive director of STEM eYouth, a career development program which really inspired me of how she is trying to teach these underprivileged kids professional and job skills, and I love it. It's a nonprofit foundation that Andrea is running. She has aspirations of one day running a $1 billion company. Without further ado, let's jump into the interview with Andrea Bello. Welcome to Make Shit Happen. My guest today is Andrea Bello. Andrea, thank you for coming on to the show and thank you for making time for us today. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. So Andrea, I came across your profile on LinkedIn. I'm like, man, I must interview this lady because she had all this stuff going on. You know, I know you went to school to be, in Bachelor of Science. You went to MIT and then you ended up doing an MBA. Tell us a little bit about your background, who you are, who is Andrea Bello, and give us a little insight about you.
Yeah, definitely. So just to start you where I am now, and then I can take you back. Currently, I'm a regional marketing manager for Paul Corporation, which is part of Danaher's subsidiary. It's a biotech company. And I'm also the founder and executive director of the STEM eYouth Career Development Program, which is a nonprofit. It educates youth in STEM and entrepreneurship. So my background, I was born and raised in Texas, so a Texan, and I actually grew up mostly in the arts. I think that's what gives me a lot of my drive and my creative aspirations, even though I decided to pursue STEM. So when I was in junior high, I fell in love with STEM and the idea of pursuing that in the future, and so I applied to MIT and was very blessed to get in. So I went to MIT and got my bachelor's in biology. I did a year at the National Institute of Health down in Bethesda, Maryland, before going to UCLA to get my master's in immunology. So I have 14 years biomedical research experience. And then I also have done a lot of teaching and tutoring and mentoring students, which led me to start tutoring with Andrea and then eventually STEMI. So it's kind of a bit a wild road and twisty, but that's kind of a quick snapshot of my background.
So when you were tutoring people before, you were tutoring them in science?
Yep. I mean, I've been tutoring since, I remember my first mentoring was actually when I was in high school, and I mentored an international student, just trying to help him, get accustomed to America and the American school system and the education system, and tutoring him in math. And that really had a profound impact on me, that it was very powerful to feel like I could make a difference in somebody else's life, especially when you're young, that type of impactful feeling that you can make that difference. So ever since then, I continued to tutor. I was a teaching assistant at MIT. I was tutoring students at a tutoring academy prior to going to NIH. So just a lot of teaching and tutoring all throughout. And I made it an official business back in 2014. So not too long ago, but yeah.
So how did the transition happen from being in science and research and development to saying, you know what, I want to be in business? You even went to Rice and got an MBA. Why? Why that sudden change?
Well, I think, for me, I what's very interesting is, you know, my background, a lot of times I know a lot of people are like this, will make an assumption that I don't like certain things or that I do like certain things. And business was one of those things when I was young where it's like, oh, that's got to be boring. You're putting yourself behind a desk, you're looking at a computer all day. It wasn't until I started tutoring with Andrea, and the reason I started it was for some extra side income, you know, a side hustle. I knew I enjoyed tutoring. I thought I could, you know, make a little side income at it. And the whole, not just the tutoring, but everything around building the business was fascinating to me. It made me realize that there were a lot of aspects of business that I actually really loved. And it was very similar to the reasons I actually love science and very similar to the reasons why I loved being creative and the arts. So being able to take all of that and mold it all together into starting businesses is really why I pursue my MBA and where I am now.
Awesome, awesome. So today you're also the founder and executive director of STEMe Youth. Tell us a little bit, what is STEMe Youth Career Development Program?
Yes, so STEMe was founded in 2018. As I mentioned, it was kind of a spawn child from tutoring with Andrea. I had all this experience tutoring students for years now and recognizing that part of what kept me in business in tutoring was the fact that the education system failed to really educate students in some of the skills that were critical to their success. And a lot of those skills had to do with creativity and innovation and professional skills and project management, time management. And that's actually, as a tutor, what I would do most of the time. It wasn't necessarily comprehension, and that was part of it, but most of it was setting a set study schedule, teaching students how to memorize, giving them a 1, 2, 3 on how to solve most things, and then helping them realize that it's not just comprehension, it's also memorization and how to appropriately go about that. So, that's ultimately where my inspiration for STEMe came from. STEMe is really about helping students choose or be more educated about careers prior to matriculating to college. So helping them with speaking engagements, we have a new tutoring program, we have hands-on activities that are more geared towards project management and budgets and timelines, really professional skills, working in teams, team management, and that's also something that our internship program teaches as well. So it's a lot of taking a lot of my marketing experience, my marketing research from tutoring with Andrea and applying it and trying to create a solution in STEMe.
Okay, so let's just say if you were in charge of the education system and you know, someone calls you and say, Andrea, tell us what classes should we add to the education system since you think we don't have everything. Well, what would you add?
So I think, you know, what we teach now is critical. I think there's this misnomer that what we teach now is not relevant, especially when we're talking about things like algebra. People are like, when am I ever going to need algebra? And you do need algebra. It's not, we can't take away from the subjects that we're teaching, but we can change how we teach them. There's been several evolutions in education that have happened in the way that we teach these subjects. And I think that's one way in which I would change the education system is how we teach math, how we teach science, how we teach English. A lot of also what's in education is about the new evolution would be around the integration of these fields. Most of these fields are taught very disparately and separated. When the reality is if you want to be successful in any field, you need to know how to integrate all of these together. And there's this assumption that you need to know them separately prior to integrating them. And that's a very false assumption. In fact, there's a lot to be said about integrating various subjects early on. And then, what I would add, I would definitely add a course in entrepreneurship or in some way integrate entrepreneurship and professional skills into the current education system as it stands. So it's not necessarily adding, but just changing how we do it.
You said entrepreneurship and professional skills. Do you mind expanding on what kind of professional skills are you talking about?
Yeah. So when we're teaching our 3-day startup, We teach everything from the initial mindset, which, you know, a lot of kids come in either they don't want to do entrepreneurship, like their parents are like, you're learning this, or they're actually interested and they actually want to know what this is about. And most of them come in thinking that the idea, the business idea, is what will make them successful. And that's a false assumption. It's actually the mindset. It's really execution, how much grit you have, how much you persevere, how determined you are, how passionate you are. And so that's one thing, is really trying to reorient them about that they are capable of doing anything they put their mind to. And that is largely at the heart of entrepreneurship, is if you're passionate enough about something and you're willing to work hard enough for it, that you can build it. Now, that being said, there's also this idea that we do a lot of things alone. There's this view that as an entrepreneur, we're doing things by ourselves, and that also trying to break down that barrier. So in our 3-day startup, it's about working in teams, working with people you've never worked with, communication skills, presentation skills. And so all of that falls under my bucket of professional skills. Things like project management, time management, how do you budget, how do you work together to come up with an idea and then explain and communicate that idea and that vision, people skills. So all of that together is always, it's a mixture of communication, people skills, creativity, innovation, and you still need to throw in data analytics and STEM. And if you can do all of that, if you can bring all of those together, then you will be successful no matter what field you go into, even if you choose not to be an entrepreneur. No matter what field you go in, you'll be successful.
One more question that I have, Andrea. So let's just say you said professional skills and you explained it right. And you also said, you know, entrepreneurship classes. But there's a lot of people who, you know, I feel like when they go to work, there's people who are lacking a lot of skills. Like, you know, schools never teach us like how to act when we are at work. And it doesn't have to be in a professional field. It can be any field, right? It can be entry-level jobs. I mean, and that's one of the problems that we are having with a lot of our, you know, younger generation. And, you know, everybody say, oh, well, these millennials, these Gen X, they don't know how to do this. Or what is this, Gen Z or Gen X? I'm sorry. That's the new one.
Gen Z,
and they don't know how to act. They don't know how to come to work. And we're having a big problem. But I feel like we don't teach them in school, like, you know, what is the correct way, how to act and, you know, how to be professional, how to come to work, how not to call in. And I think that's, I'm not saying take any classes off, but I feel like these are electives that should be put in, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, I had my first job. Well, I got it when I was 15, although I wasn't allowed to start till I was 16. But, you know, I don't think it's a generational thing, to be honest. I think it's an experience thing. I know colleagues of mine who didn't work when they were young and still, you know, struggle to understand that perspective of you can really do anything that you put your mind to, and how to work professionally, how to put customers first. I mean, it's such a big issue nowadays where the perspective of businesses in general is, you know, we're right and the customer's wrong. And I think, you know, there's something missing from the old school way of the customer is right and, you know, and customer service. And where did that go? So I don't think it's necessarily a generational thing. I think it's, you know, it's an experience thing. So a lot of these students don't come in, and a lot of businesses nowadays require bachelor's degrees before they'll even give jobs. So how are they supposed to gain this experience if they can't even get a job without having a bachelor's experience, or if they're working in a job that doesn't require them to actually know what customer service really is? So I think that's a fault of us as a community, as a society, for not providing those opportunities. And luckily at STEMI, we are able to do that, you know, with our internship program. We provide them with opportunities where we do discuss customer service. We talk about, you know, how do you approach a professional? How do you send emails? What's the language you use? What modality of communication should you use? All of those things that are lost on, you know, even adults nowadays who don't have that experience.
Is there any kind of requirement, or is there any kind of I mean, what are the qualifications to enter in the STEM-E program?
So there are no qualifications, and that's a purposeful choice. So as part of STEM-E, we really try and level the playing field. We do try and target underprivileged, underrepresented students in all of our events. So that's why most of our events are free. Now, we do ask for donations when parents and students are able, but our events are largely free. And then the events that aren't free, we have full scholarships for, and they're very much a nominal fee. So for our internship, it's the same idea. We want to be able to provide opportunities to students who don't have experience, but we will train them up. We train them up in everything that they do. They work in teams with their peers, and their peers are learning how to manage. They're learning how to work as a team of teams, and they manage everything. They manage all of it. And so we train them up in the proper way to do everything. And they email professionals, and they set up interviews, and they do the interviews, and they do podcasts and blog writing and editing and everything else. And kids are completely capable of all of that. It's just, you know, they've never been given the opportunity. Now, do they make mistakes? Of course, but I don't set that as an issue. In fact, I set the expectations that mistakes and failures will happen, and that's okay, as long as there's the mindset of owning up to it, of communicating, of being professional, and, you know, really wanting to correct those issues and move forward positively. So we're very lucky to be able to provide those opportunities with no experience.
Andrew, you know, I understand that you want to be an entrepreneur, and you said tutoring was really good for you. But then you opened this nonprofit organization. I mean, it's not for profit. So it's really, you're like, hey, I feel like you want to do more good than make money. So why? What is the why?
I mean, there's this misnomer that nonprofit is not entrepreneurship. And I think I need to cut that assumption down immediately, because in fact, there's a reason why nonprofits have a higher failure rate than for-profits. They're a lot harder. I'm not trying to dismiss the difficulty of for-profits. They're hard too. Let's just be honest. But there's a lot of regulation that we have to deal with. It's not as easy. We can't just stick a price tag to something and people be willing to pay for it, because they're like, well, you're a nonprofit, you should just give it away for free. There's a lot of misnomers about this idea that, oh, well, if you start a nonprofit, it's because you're not good enough to start a for-profit. The skills are the same. You still have to think about revenue streams. You still have to think about business models, business strategy. The difference is that you have a lot more stakeholders. You have a lot more customers, because you have to think about your donors, and you have to think about the mindset and the who you're targeting in so many different ways than you would for a for-profit. I mean, it's not just a single widget that you're going to generate and pop out and you have a single stakeholder at the end of this game. It's, you know, I have to deal with about 7 different stakeholders in the process of creating this company. And that means that we're extremely complex, and it's very difficult to sustain. You know, do I want to start a for-profit in the future? Yeah, I do. I'm interested. But everything that I do will be around trying to do it for the greater good, whether it's a for-profit or a nonprofit. I don't see the value in creating something simply for the goal of money. I've never been that way. I'm not a person who's driven by money. You know, that's why I think I'm good at doing a nonprofit, because I can do a whole lot with very little resources. And that's something that we teach too, which is being ultra resourceful with what little you're given. And I think that's a powerful lesson in grit for anybody in their lives in general.
So, I mean, what is it? What is the goal? I mean, what do you want to achieve? Why? I mean, and that was my question. What is your why?
So again, my why is to make a difference. I mean, you know, whether that is for nonprofit or for profit, the only reason why I would separate, and again, the idea of a business model, the reason why we chose STEM.
Not as a business question. I'm just talking about as you, as Andrew Below. What is your why?
Yeah. So again, it's just to make a difference. And I can do that whether it's a nonprofit or a for profit. The reason why we chose STEM-E again as a nonprofit is because in order to do what I needed it to do as a mission, it had to be a nonprofit. The format, when we're thinking about the business strategy, it had to be a nonprofit. Now I have other business ideas that are in the works that are for-profit business ideas. And that's not because my goal is to make money. It's because when you're looking at the idea and the target market, it flushes out as a for-profit. So it's very, I'm thinking very logically and strategically, but in the end, everything I do is around trying to make a positive impact in the world. It's about trying to create a solution that customers need, not just want. I really am trying to solve a true problem where I think that it would make a positive impact in the world.
What is that problem?
So for STEMI, the problem is that students who are underprivileged and underrepresented don't have access to the same high quality education in STEM and entrepreneurship that others do who have the means to be able to buy it. For some of my ideas, which are also in education and are associated with that would flesh out as a for-profit, those are about teaching, finding unique and fun ways to teach STEM and entrepreneurship to ensure future success. With some of my interests in the future, which are around biotechnology, I was working with a team of scientists and we were going to spin off a few companies. It's around finding novel technologies to treat cancer or to treat and create vaccines. So some of my work is actually in RNA vaccine research. So a lot of it, again, it really just depends on what the idea is. But you can see, no matter, my whole path has always been about helping people, whether that's through research and science and trying to treat cancer or diseases, or whether that's through STEM and education.
Gotcha. Andrew, your main day-to-day, basically how you make, bring home the bacon,
guys. Bread and butter, yeah.
Your bread and butter is research and development, correct?
Well, it's marketing right now. It's marketing. Yeah. I work as a regional marketing manager for Paul Corporation. Now they generate various technologies for various different industries. And I really mean various, everything from oil and gas to all the way up to biotechnology. Now I work in the biotechnology group, and so we create technology for pharmaceutical companies. So we've had a direct impact in the COVID vaccine generation. So our products are used to generate COVID vaccines. And so it's very rewarding to feel like even in my biotech background and in my desire to pursue business, that I'm still able to make a difference by being part of a company that makes a difference.
Okay. So the company, so basically y'all provide a product that helps create the vaccines.
It's in the process. Yeah. Of generating not just vaccines. I mean, there's many things from monoclonal antibodies to small molecules, pharmaceuticals, just many things. And then, like I said, even beyond that, if you fly in a plane, our products are in the planes. Fly, International Space Station, our products are there. Our products mm-hmm. are helping purify food and beverage, everything that you eat and drink on a daily basis, clean water. A lot of what we do is just, it's really amazing what this company does.
Oh, awesome. That's. Do you mind telling us a little bit about the company? Tell us a little more insight.
Yeah, so it's called Paul Corporation again. And basically, so it depends on which industry you're talking about, but a lot of the products are around filtration and purification. However, when we're talking about laboratory products, medical products, because it's also it's used in hospitals, or filtration and other products are also used in hospitals. And then the field that I work in, which is in biotechnology. So it's everything from helping cultures, so cell cultures, to generate monoclonal antibody vaccines and mRNA vaccines. And so, a lot of these companies, our products are being used to develop. And we do basically end-to-end, what we call end-to-end bioprocessing solutions. So helping these pharmaceutical companies from upstream to downstream generate these treatments and these vaccines.
Awesome. And you are saying that you are in work for some for-profit business to maybe hope to one day find cure for cancer and bunch of other, stuff.
That's been some of our ideas in the past, but some of my for-profit ideas right now are more around education. Which are in are kind of in process as part of STEMI, but they would spin off as a for-profit, which is a lot easier than trying to take a for-profit and spin off a nonprofit. As for my desire to do a startup in the biotech field, that's something that I think I might do in the future. Right now, as part of Paul, I'm in a leadership track. And so my role is in marketing right now. My next role will be in operations and then product management to ultimately be a general manager and then move up as, you know, VP, pres, that sort of pathway. And that will give me the experience that I want in working with and helping to manage multi-billion dollar companies, which is ultimately my goal. Yeah.
Awesome. So, you know, Andrea, how do you find time for all this stuff?
Just good time management, like what I teach. I think, you know, one thing that I'm very good at, which is, you know, I learned how to do, I'm a very rational person, but I'm also, you know, they say laziness is the mother of invention, because ultimately I want to spend as little time as possible on the things that got to get done so that then I can enjoy the things that I did. I'm very quick. I'm very quick at doing what I need to get done. I'm very good, but it's taken a lot of time to become that way. And I can do what most people do in a third of the time. And I've learned how to do that. And I've taught students how to do that and how to be efficient and how to prioritize and things like that. And that's all I do. That's how
you got, you got a tip for me and my audience? Like, you know, would you like to share one?
I don't know. It really depends on the person. But for me, what works is I write. So I do a lot. So my memory is not as great as I would like all the time. So my number one rule is write everything down. Write it all down, even if you think it's useless. And that's actually been a time saver in and of itself, because if you're writing as you're going, you don't have to wonder about what happened. Lists. So I do have anytime I have a task or something, I put it in a list of to-dos. Now that doesn't mean that I get everything done in a day, but it's very helpful to make sure that nothing falls through the cracks, which also makes me very efficient. I prioritize, based on what's very typically known as, you know, impact effort matrix for the most part. Those things are urgent. Or urgent priority matrix. So if something's highly urgent, I do it first. If nothing's urgent, then I do what's easiest and quickest first so that I can feel good about checking off many things on my list. And then it's a very positive reinforcement because I felt like it was a productive day. So I just, I move through the things. I do the things I got to get done immediately. I don't wait. I don't procrastinate. You know, they always say, if you want something done, give it to a busy person. Well, that's usually me. So I just, as soon as I get something, if I can turn it around, I immediately turn it around so I can cross it off my list.
I like that. Those are helpful tips. Andrea, is there any tips you would like to share with somebody who's aspiring to be an entrepreneur and wants to be, but don't know, you know, what they're doing or how can they find their way?
Yeah. So, I think the first thing is really about passion. I think there's, we preach it a lot, but I also think it's very important. If you are not passionate about what you're pursuing as an entrepreneur, you're almost certain to fail because it's hard. It is one of the hardest things that you will do. I'll probably say there's only two harder things, and that is teaching, which is also, I love a challenge. So teaching is harder because you really have to get in the heads of kids. If you really want to teach well, you're not talking at the kids, but you know, teaching is hard. And then the only other hard thing is experimentation, science research is probably another harder thing. But it's hard. And so you really have to be passionate about it. So that's one thing. The other thing is confidence. As an entrepreneur, none of us know what we're doing. I mean, we pull from our experiences and the thing is that we're good at teaching ourselves. We're good at learning on the fly. We're good at also being somewhat slightly overconfident in the idea that, you know, no matter what is thrown our way, we'll make it work. It's fine. I know that things are going to fail. I know that things are going to fall through the cracks, and I'm okay with that. As long as I can largely, for the most part, anticipate it, I try and prevent things from happening as much as possible. But at the end of the day, I have a very strong confidence that everything will be fine, and that we'll be able to work our way through it, and everything will turn out for the good, and that if I need to teach myself something, I'll be able to teach myself something, and I'll be able to fix it, and it'll be fine. So I think it's, again, more about the mindset. And so those students who are interested in entrepreneurship, to really try and take that on and recognize that it's okay that you don't know everything. That's part of the fun. Enjoy that. Enjoy that feeling of slight adrenaline and excitement and challenge of not knowing something and having to figure it out and learn it. Because that's where the real fun is.
Got you. I like what you had to say about that. What is next for you besides building, you know, getting some more businesses? What is something that you like say, you know, that's something I really want to do in the next 10 years or 12 years? What would that be?
That's tough because I think I learned early on, you know, my early 20s, to kind of stop trying to set a major dream. So what I do is set goals with being okay with not meeting them, not because I'm not confident in that I won't meet them, but because I don't want to miss out on the opportunities. I don't want to miss out on not being open to external opportunities. And I think to me, that's more important. You know, as many people I know will say, the best times of their lives were the opportunities that they never planned for, but were bold enough to take. And so for me, I mean, I have goals. Like I said, I want to run a multi-billion dollar company. I feel confident that I can do it. I'm learning along the way, which is why I'm very satisfied with my role now. You know, as long as I'm learning, as long as I feel like I'm growing, as long as I feel like I'm giving back at the same time, then I'm very satisfied. I don't want to be stagnant. And so, but, you know, and then I have, you know, maybe I'll spin off a company and maybe I'll start a startup at for profit. I see STEMI getting bigger. I see STEMI growing and really make, we're already moving internationally, but really moving internationally. Those are goals that I have, but at the same point, don't pigeonhole myself into saying, you know, I have to meet those. Gotcha. You know, I think for me, you know, where I want to be in 10 years is just happy, happy, still learning, happy, still growing, still giving back, trying new things, being adventurous. And just always, you know, moving around, traveling, experiencing the world. I think if I continue to keep doing that, I know that no matter where I land, I'll be good.
How important is learning through experience? You said earlier, you know, it's because of experience. So how important do you think learning from experience is?
It's critical. I think it's very critical. I think that's also another reason why the education system is not as good as where it needs to be. That's why project-based learning or on-the-job learning is critical. But I think, again, part of the failure on our society is that we don't give kids the opportunity. We don't think that they're intelligent enough or capable enough to do it. And that's a failure on us because they are. I know they are. Because I have, you know, fourth graders coming up with and building startup companies. I have, you know, junior high students running and managing teams as part of our internship program. They're completely capable. It's the fact that they're not given that opportunity. So, you know, that if we could do more of that, giving them those opportunities, whether that's in school or outside of school, to get that on the job training, I think we as a society would be so much better for it.
Let me ask you a question. How can, if someone wants to get in touch with you, how can they do that, Andrea?
Yeah, so feel free to email me. You can email STEMI also as well at info@STEMI.org. Also, take a look at our website. It's just amazing, you know, everything that we have. So take a look at STEMI.org for all of our events. Everything that the students are doing. It's just as a program, I'm really excited about it. I love seeing everything that's happening.
That's perfect. And they can get involved if they want to. Again, one more time, the website is
STEMI.org.
STEM, and then there's no hyphen, just STEMI.org, correct?
Yes, STEMI.org.
Mm-hmm. Perfect. So that's a good way to do it. Andrea, you know, I want to be respectful of your time, and we are getting to a time where I like to kind of limit these episodes. But before you go, I have a question that I ask all of my guests. Yes. If let's say today was the last day for for you. You ended up living 100 years, lived a long life, did a lot of impactful things, did a lot of podcasts, wrote books, did everything. But they come to you and they say, hey, Andrea, it's your time to go meet, you know, go to the next universe, meet with your creator, whatever your beliefs are. And they give you a pen and a paper and say, Andrea, here goes three things. We want you to write it. It can be your truths, three truths, three keys to greatness, three ways to live life, three things that everyone should do. What will those three things be?
That's hard. One, believe in yourself and don't let anybody tell you that you can't do something unless that lights a fire under you. So only take the negative as positive. I would say number two, don't fight the struggle. The struggle's good. The failure's good. Live through it, you know, go through it, experience it. That's part of life. There's always this big fear of struggle. I have a guest here. There's always big fear of struggle. And it's critical. It's critical to success. So don't fear it. Don't fight it. Go through it. And then I would say probably number three is just experience as much as possible. I think that is the key to happiness, which is whether it's the ups, the downs, the sideways, is experience. So try and open yourself up to new opportunities. Always take the new. I never regret anything that I've done. I always regret the things I don't do.
Oh, I love it. Love it. Love it. Thank you, Andrea. Thank you for your time. Thank you for coming on the show. I appreciate it so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. And I mean, time is something that, you know, is a precious commodity. And thank you for donating the time to us. Thank you so much.
Yeah, of course. Thank you. Take care.
Hey guys, I hope you enjoyed Andrea Bello's interview as much as I did. And please share it with somebody, start a conversation. This might inspire someone who thinks they cannot do anything and maybe education is the only way out. And people can make a difference. I love how Andrea is making an impact. And her whole goal is to make sure that she makes an impact in her life and leaves something behind. Love this interview. I hope you do too. Thank you. Now let's go out there and make shit happen.